And welcome to the Dolphin Pod. This is episode 2 of season 3 of our show. We relaunched a couple of weeks back, and we're joined by CSI men's basketball head coach TJ Tibbs. On today's show, I will be joined by CSI women's basketball head coach Nicole Sarcone. Once again, this is Joe Foreman hosting solo for this week's show. I do anticipate having some guest co-hosts moving forward, but for now, we are proceeding solo. And before we are joined by Nicole Sarcone, we will take a look back at the week that was here at the College of Staten Island with a brief recap of this past week's action. The week kicked off with a conference doubleheader, CSI men's basketball and women's basketball taking on Mercy College back on November 30th. Both of those games were very close games, and it was the CSI women picking up the win over Mercy College last week by a final score of 71-67. For the women, that win was their first against a conference opponent this season, and for the Dolphins, it was also their third straight win. As for the men, they fell to the Mavericks by just 2 points. The Dolphins led in the first half by as many as 18. That lead was cut to 7 by the end of the first half, and in the second half, CSI was surpassed by Mercy in the closing minutes of that game. The Dolphins did have a chance late, trailing by a pair, did not score, and went on to lose the game. Both men's and women's basketball were also in action this weekend on Saturday as they traveled to Sparkill, New York to take on St. Thomas Aquinas College. As for the men, they lost their game 66-52. They were leading in that game at one point by as many as 10 in the first half. Stack turned that game around, took the lead heading into the halftime break, and ultimately the Spartans pulled out the victory. The Dolphins did get as close as 2 points in the closing minutes of that game. They were right there against one of the toughest teams in the conference, but ultimately it was Stack pulling out the victory. As for women's basketball, they were a bit shorthanded in their game against the Spartans on Saturday, and the Dolphins fell by a final score of 82-59 in that game. The Dolphins lose for the first time in their last 4 games. They've won 3 out of their last 4, but that loss to the Spartans snaps the CSI winning streak. Also this past weekend, Swimming and Diving hosted the inaugural CSI Invite. The meet featured 4 programs here at the College of Staten Island, including, of course, the Dolphins, the Roberts Wesleyan University Redhawks, the Mount St. Mary College Knights, and the College of St. Rose Golden Knights. Those teams all coming into the tank beginning on Friday night for a 5:30 p.m. evening session. The following day on Saturday, there were 3 separate sessions, 1 in the morning beginning at 9:30 a.m., followed by a diving session at 1 p.m., and the meet concluded with a second evening session at 5:30 p.m. The Dolphins broke quite a few records in that meet, and I have some of those right here. New records included Brooke Manning breaking her own record in the 100-yard butterfly, Jessica Johnson set new records in the 200- and 400-yard individual medley, Max Clair, David Poggioli, William Kwan, and Anthony Attenborough set a record in the 200 freestyle relay, and then Jessica Johnson, Catherine Ibrahim, Morgan Novello, and Brooke Manning set a new record in the women's 400-yard freestyle relay. As for the CSI men, they took the top score in the men's meet, earning them a banner on behalf of the East Coast Conference. The women of Roberts Wesleyan University were tied for the top score in the women's meet. Both the Redhawks and the Golden Knights finished the meet with an even 160 points. By virtue of that score, they earned a banner from the East Coast Conference, did Roberts Wesleyan. They won the women's meet alongside the College of St. Rose. Lastly, this weekend, cross country competed in the Uri Spence Garcia Invitational hosted by Division I St. John's University. In that meet, the Dolphins set several new records once again. Record setters included Skylar Pointer, Kevin Hasty, Cole Enslin in what was a very impressive season debut for the Dolphins under associate head coach James Lugensland. We do expect associate head coach Lugensland to be one of our guests on the Dolphin Pod later this month. He will join me on the show ahead of the team's first meet of 2023. That meet takes place on January 13th of next year. So following this short break, we will be joined by CSI women's basketball head coach Nicole Sarcone right back here on the Dolphin Pod. Once again, this is Joe Foreman. I'm joined by Nicole Sarcone after this short break. And welcome back to the Dolphin Pod, our second episode following the relaunch of our show 2 weeks ago. And as promised, our second guest on the show is CSI Women's Basketball Head Coach Nicole Sarcone. Nicole, welcome back to the Dolphin Pod.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's exciting to watch your team play as well. And your team has not been short on excitement in their home games this season. Every game has come right down to the wire. You finally picked up your first win against Wilmington last week. And after your team got healthy, you went on to win 3 out of 4 games. What changed for your team in addition to their getting healthy? And what led to those 3 victories, 4 games?
Yeah, I think having the healthy bodies helps. You know, our rotations are deeper than they have been in the past, and I think that helps keep everybody's legs fresh and everybody's energy up throughout a game. We've had some foul trouble, but we've had people step up in different spots, and I think having that versatility, people coming off the bench and giving huge sparks on either end of the floor, defensively, offensively, just playing as a unit, playing hard, and I think after that first win against Wilmington, it gave them a sense of confidence on the floor, and they just, the sense of urgency that we played and the effort we played within those other two wins was the difference maker, in my opinion, compared to like a game like Stack over the weekend. You know, it's the sense of urgency and the unity. I think that's the difference in games where we play at a really high level compared to the games where we're not so much playing as a team.
Last year's team was the first roster filled with players that you recruited, that you brought to this program. How important is that for the team and for you as a coach to coach players that you brought in and have a full roster of players, many of whom returned for this year?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think it's an integral part of the growth of our program and as a team. You know, you could see the difference just in simply end of game situations this year so far from our returners who were freshmen last year playing major minutes and playing end of game minutes. And that's not easy, but you can see the difference. You can see the growth and you can see that they know each other better on the court this year than they did last year, because last year 8 out of 10 of the players on the roster had never played together on the same floor. So that was tough, but I think getting all those minutes last year is the reason why they play well together now.
Well, the sideline never gets too high or too low. We know TJ likes to stomp sometimes on the sideline. He gets very riled up. Sometimes his assistant, specifically Kurt, can really lay into the team. I'm not sure we've seen you do that on the sideline during a game, but what does that locker room look like after a big win for your team? And if there's one game I remember from back in 2019, there was a bit of a celebration cutting the net down during a game. So what does the locker room look like after a big win?
Yeah, I mean, I think I wish I had the video to show you the win after, or the locker room after the win versus Mercy. You know, they were just, the team as a whole was excited. You know, they doused us in water. They were excited, as they should be. That's a huge win for us. It's a huge conference win. So my demeanor is a little different than TJ, and I think I'm more of a silent assassin on the sidelines and more so pointing my energy towards the officiating. But you know, Kelsey and Sam bring great energy, and our bench brings great energy. So when we come off our wins, the locker room is just, the vibes are so high. The energy is so high, and they're excited because they know they've just worked for that win. No win for us this year will be an easy one. Our conference is really competitive, and our non-conference games are tough. So we know when we come away with a win that we just worked for it, and I think that provides them with the energy they need after the game.
Now, we've seen Kurt lay into the men's team before. Is Kelsey capable of such anger? I can't imagine it. She is.
Kelsey's scary in practice. She was last week, and Sam and I, she was a little scary in practice. And I just looked at Sam. I said, oh, she's on one today. She goes, yeah, I'm not touching that. And then we told her after, and she was like, yeah, I needed you guys to back me up. But, you know, I think having we're three different personalities, Kelsey, Sam, and I. But I think it's a good thing. You know, obviously trying to relate to 12, 11, 15, however many people you have on your roster, you know, relating to everybody's different attitudes, or everybody has a different demeanor and takes criticism and teaching differently. So I think having the three of us helps. You know, if someone is more comfortable learning from one of the coaches, it's good. It's I rely on them a lot, and Kelsey is definitely capable of lacing into them.
I know she's still capable of playing as well. As recently as a year or two back, she was dominating us in early morning pickup basketball. Yeah. So she definitely still has it on the court. But speaking of the bigger roster, are you still serving as a practice body?
It's funny you ask. Typically, no. I've tried to hang up my shoes as much as possible. But today, yeah. So just came off of practice myself.
We can't tell it all, so that's good. It means you made easy work of your team. But You were such a great sport about it, so I have to ask about it. Last year, you were injured as a practice body, were scooting around the building in that boot. Going back to that moment where you rolled out onto the court ahead of a game and they were playing ride and dirty, what was going through your mind as you heard that coming through the doors of the gym?
You know, I caught a lot of jokes from the department about my scooter, but it's a big building. And I said, hey, I'm getting this. And the only way that I can do it is to make fun of myself a little bit and let the team have fun with it. So that's what it was all about. You know, it was just hard, you know, obviously being non-weight bearing and things like that. So my coaching staff was a huge help. I owe them a lot. And the team having to put up with me not being agile and not being able to do a lot of things is, you know, it stinks. So we had to have some fun with it.
Well, to your credit, you were a great sport about it. I promise this will be the last time you hear about it from me. But for our listeners at home who didn't know the story, I felt like it was a good one to bring up. Now, speaking of footwear choices, your sideline style, if you had a choice, your go-to style on the sideline. I know it's typically more casual for your team. Some games, you guys dress up a bit more. The men's basketball combines the casual with the suits sometimes. So there are endless combinations you can choose from. If the choice is solely up to you, what are you going for on the sideline?
Sneakers only, or are you talking about?
In general.
So we were going to actually dress up for home games, which we started doing, and go more casual for road games. But we're just going casual this year. You know, sneakers, I'm the wrong person to ask. Everybody makes fun of me for my sneakers. Obviously, after my injury last year, you know, listen to Dr. Z, and I wear Brooks. The team makes fun of me. Kelsey and Sam make fun of me. And so I'm all about comfort. I know that stinks for Kelsey and Sam because we should come out looking a little bit better with our sneaker choice. But, you know, I'm about comfort. So whatever's most comfortable for me and I'm not leaving there with a swollen Achilles or anything like that, then I'm good to go.
Seems like a wise move. I definitely won't get on you for the sneaker choice since you allowed me to ask that question. But post-game celebrations. Now, we spoke about the net cutting from 2019 a bit earlier. You spoke about being doused in water. And we have a lot of great sponsors. TJ and I brought up some of them during our last show. In the past, women's basketball has had a fundraiser at the Kettle Black. If you have a choice post-game, where are you going for your post-game meal following a big win?
Oh, man. You know, we Kettle, probably Kettle Black, you know, Jimmy Max, definitely. So probably TLC for a little bit of physical therapy. but yeah, no, you know, we appreciate all of our sponsors and they do a great job and they've done a great job for us. So, they're a huge part of our program. So, happy to celebrate anywhere after at any of our sponsors after a win.
If you're celebrating at TLC, you know that was a big yeah. win. And courtesy of TLC, we're going to have some brand new backdrops for our post-game TLC Physical Therapy Player of the Game. Hopefully next week we have the backdrops behind us because we were joking around the building during the last week that this sort of looked like a hostage video, like the guests may be required to come on against their will. The solid gray wall has to go. So hopefully in time for our next show, we'll be able to change that. And our viewers who are watching on YouTube can see that we still do have indeed the solid gray wall behind us. But another question I have for you is, where were you and your coaching staff during the faculty staff basketball game? I don't remember if you were playing that day, but you certainly weren't on the court with us.
I'd like to come up with a good excuse. I don't have one. Personally, you know, I got to be careful about what I do now. So, you know, I'm on IRL. But Kelsey and Sam, I don't know. You got to talk to them.
I will have to ask them. But even if you don't play, we could use some coaching. I don't know if you saw or heard. Me and my unit didn't do so well in that game. We came in down 2. We left the game down 9. TJ took care of business at the end and hit the game-winning shot. But that was a lot of fun for us. And we could definitely use some coaching. So perhaps next year, you and your coaching staff can come down and give us some pointers. But team is playoff eligible this year, of course. How important is that to the program? And what kind of players are you looking to bring into this program moving forward to help you achieve playoff success down the line?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. I actually just spoke to the team about this this week, is that, you know, it's the first year, like you said, that we're eligible, but that doesn't mean it's going to be handed to us. We have to go out every single day in practice and prepare and work for it, because every game matters, and sometimes you lose that feeling when you're not eligible. It almost seems like a 28-game schedule of non-league games, right, because there's not that meaning behind it that we all as players and coaches know about. So I think as a young team still, we have to learn to understand what every day means. We just talked about that today. So, you know, it's huge. It's important. And I think we might take a hit or two like we did, you know, in our recent game and then learn from it that, hey, every day matters, every minute matters in practice and in these games. So I think the players have put in so much sacrifice being a part of a program for however many years they've each been here where they couldn't be considered for players, so they couldn't qualify for playoffs. So now's the chance. Like, you've put in all this work, you've made sacrifices. Let's go out there and be the first team to get a playoff spot. And you know, be the first team when you have the chance. Let's go out there and get it done. It's not going to be easy, but I think we have to remember every day what it means to get that.
And one last thing on the topic of the players, what brand of basketball are you looking to play as a coach? What are you looking for from the players on the court, perhaps in the classroom or off the court? What kind of person and athlete are you looking for on this team?
For sure. For, you know, having good people on the team is one of the most important things because that is just where you start. We want players who kind of live for the game, who love the game, who, you know, you don't dwell on a loss, but it eats at you a little bit and you learn from it and you celebrate those wins, but you realize you have to get back to work the next day. So we want players who live for the game, who love the game, who come to practice excited to compete, knowing that it's for the bigger picture. So we want players who love it and live for it. I mean, skill set, you wouldn't be here, right, if we didn't think that was there in each individual. But that's, you know, you can work on that. But having heart and having it mean something to you, that's unique. We want those type of players.
Well, it means a lot to me, Nicole, that you were willing to come on in the midst of a busy schedule following a practice where you served as one of the practice players. So, Nicole, thanks for joining us here on the Dolphin Pod. Always a pleasure to have you on. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show on this episode 2 of the all-new Dolphin Pod, relaunched last month over at CSIDolphins.com. Stay with us after this break. And welcome back to the Dolphin Pod. And of course, we thank CSI Women's Basketball Head Coach Nicole Sarcone for joining us on this week's show. Her team will be back in action tomorrow night as they host the University of the District of Columbia in an East Coast Conference basketball doubleheader. The women will tip things off tomorrow night at 5:30 p.m., followed by the men in Game 2, approximately 2 hours after that. Of course, you can catch all the action in that game live on CSI Sportsnet via the ECC Network. Also on Saturday, men's basketball will be at home when the Dolphins host American International College on Saturday at 2 o'clock, a rare 2 p.m. Saturday game this weekend. So be sure to tune in for that as well on CSI Sportsnet via the ECC Network. So until tomorrow night, if you tune in once again, this has been Joe Foreman. Thank you for checking out this episode of the Dolphin Pod, Season 3, Episode 2. Following our relaunch a couple of weeks ago, we do anticipate that our next guest on the show will be CSI Cross Country Track and Field Associate Head Coach James Lugensland. Be sure to check that out when that episode releases in approximately 2 weeks, or perhaps a bit closer to the end of the year, as we do have an extended holiday recess here at the College of Staten Island. But be certain to be on the lookout for our conversation with Head Coach James Lugensland. You can also check out our Cross Country Track and Field Indoor Season Preview over at CSIDolphins.com. That is available at our website right now, and we do have a brief conversation with Associate Head Coach Lugensland posted there as well. Full results from all of this weekend's action can be found at CSIDolphins.com as well. You can check out all of the events from last week as well as this past weekend. Of course, Cross Country participated in their meet on Saturday, so you can check out those results in full at CSIDolphins.com. So until our next episode, thanks for tuning in. This has been the Dolphin Pod, an exclusive to CSIDolphins.com and the CSI Sportsnet YouTube channel.